Okay, well, as I say every year, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and anyone who had a mother. Okay, so Mother's Day is really for everybody, right? Mothers come in all shapes, sizes, and situations. There is one aspect of being a mother that we don't hear many sermons about. How about any? I've never heard one about this before. Right, Sue? Widowed mothers. You might be thinking right now, but I am not a widowed mother. Some of you might be thinking I am a widowed mother. Some of you might be thinking I'm not a widowed mother. Really? Are you sure? There may be an annual season of the year when you become a football widow or a video game widow. Or a hunting widow. Did you read my notes? That was my next one. Some mothers experience long seasons of being military deployment widows or work widows. A widow is defined by Google as a woman who has lost her spouse by death and has not remarried. So there could be, if you feel like you're a football widow, it's like your husband died and went away. And then, you know, everything's left to you. Lest I leave my own widowhood out, when Jeff and I had three small children, I felt like a Sunday morning widow. And I know there are others of you who have felt like that before. In fact, I found a picture of what I looked like about 30 years ago on a Sunday morning. This was me, the Sunday morning widow. We had three small children. Jeff was over here getting ready, doing all that stuff. And years ago, we didn't even have a nursery. And I moved to this area and had no relatives around to help. So I really felt like a widow. Sunday mornings, it was crazy. Jeff was over here. We had Sunday school class in our living room. And I remember one Sunday morning, there was some kind of a chalkboard hanging up, and I don't know, I bent over and somehow it fell on my head. And, you know, I mean, it was just, you can imagine. And finally, a lady and I put together a nursery, and we had small children, so we were working on trying to, it was like the early seeds of the nursery ministry. But I felt like a Sunday morning widow. My husband wasn't there to help at all. I had no relatives. Nobody seemed to notice that I looked like this. I knew what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "I have become like a bird alone on a roof." I have become like a bird alone on a roof. Psalm 102, verse 7. Okay, so I'm not the only one who feels like a widow sometimes. There are real, actual widows who have lost their husbands to death. Next slide, please. Meet Grandmother Dominica. This is a lady who's alive right now. She is 86. She could have turned 87 by now, I don't know. She was the mother of three sons and lived in Crimea. In 1960, children played in the field and found a shell left over from the war. Dennis, her son, did not understand the danger and decided to play with it, and it eventually exploded. Dennis and her second son died in the explosion. Her youngest son survived but was injured, left without an arm. Her husband could not bear the losses, became very sick, and died of infections soon after. Since then, she and her son were alone. Her son is now 55 years old. Doesn't she remind you of that old bent-over beggar woman Pastor Jeff introduced us to a few weeks ago? to start the upside down kingdom? Remember the lady with the cup bent over? Doesn't she remind you of that woman? So we could all kind of relate. We're all in that state of need, right? Like the widow Dominica, who lives right now. Now, I found her picture and her story through MIR Ministries, M-I-R Ministries, and that was a ministry born out of another missions organization that we supported for years, and that husband died, and the wife became a widow, and then somebody else in Texas took over the ministry, and I still follow them. So they have a big ministry to widows, and that's where I found Dominica's story just this year. She's not the only one. Here is another one. They have like lots of stories of these widowed mothers. Meet grandmother Praskovya. She is 93 years old. She is a widow and has buried all her sons. Praskovya's life was not easy. She went through the war. Maybe you feel like you've gone through a war. Maybe not the world war, but your own war. Hunger and many other things that made her look death in the eye. Around 1960, Praskova came to believe in God and devoted her life to studying the Bible and believing in God. All her life, she was a kind and sympathetic person, took part in the needs of others, preached the gospel, and introduced people to the Bible and God. Most recently, Praskova fell ill with coronavirus. She needed medications that could raise her immunity and fight this disease. Thanks to Widow's Care, the ministry with MIR, and other caring people, we were able to buy the necessary medicines, take care of her, and take food and medicines for continuous treatment. But a few days later, another tragedy struck Praskova at night. Her house began to burn, and she fought for her life in the burning house. Next slide, please. Ooh, nope, there's one missing. Oh, there, thank you. Not all mothers have husbands. Not all mothers have children. These mothers lost their children. So there at Mother's Day, no husband, no children anymore. There are people who have not born children who are mothers. They're mothers to other people. They care for people. They have like a ministry of a mother. We can all relate to these widows, maybe just for a little bit of time. If you feel like you're a football widow or a Sunday morning widow, you know what it feels like. A little bit of these women who have actually lost their husbands and their children. Do not be surprised, mothers. Do not be surprised. It's everywhere. Mothers who have lost their husbands, or just their husbands have gone away on deployment. Don't be surprised. I think sometimes, you know, it's shocking. This is part of real life. You know what it does? It eliminates idols. These mothers have no one else to rely on but God. There are no idols. They can't like look to a person for their help. They have to look to God. There is a widow recorded in the Bible, in the Old Testament. I would like to tell you about her, the widow of Zarephath. This is a story of a mother who used to have a husband. And I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to follow along. You can just listen to this story. I'm hoping that when you listen to it, you will go and read it over and over and over again, that it will become a story that you know oh so well. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah the prophet. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. That story is in 1 Kings chapter 17. What does the widow of Zarephath give to us 2021 mothers? Well, the first thing is the power to give. The power to give. Were you a little surprised that the prophet said, "Oh, first give me from the little bit that you have, then for yourself"? He was empowering this woman to give. There's a Presbyterian pastor that has influenced me a lot. He actually has passed away, but he talked about this power to give. You think about it. When you give something, you're powerful. You know, that's why, like, the government likes to give us stuff. It gives them power. Okay, what is this prophet doing? He's giving the widow the power. He's not saying, "Oh, you poor widow, you hardly have anything. I'm not going to receive anything from you." No, he empowered her to give, and then it multiplied. When we were, the first time we went to Kenya, I remember they were taking up an offering. We were out in the boonies, and this church was out there, and all the people hardly had anything. And when they went to take up the offering, they closed all the doors and made sure that everybody gave before they left. And I was like, whoa, you know? They were empowering those poor people to give, because there's power in giving. Okay, the next thing that she gives us mothers is the understanding we will be in fearful circumstances. Don't be surprised. You're going to be in fearful circumstances, like the widow of Zarephath. She's ready to die because she couldn't see in the natural the provision. Back when we went to India one time, We were in such a fearful circumstance. It was in Mumbai. And we had promised Rose Wagner's parents that we would, Jeff had made them a promise that we wouldn't let her out of our sight. This was before she was married. "I promise you, we'll take good care of her. We won't let her out of our sight." So we get to Mumbai, and I had made arrangements for us to stay in this motel some ways away from the airport. And we were going to get in these cabs, these little tiny cabs, and go to this place we were staying. Well, as you know, when you travel, nothing goes as planned. So we got our tickets, we started to leave. Somehow, Jeff and I got separated from Rose. Somebody in the group took the ticket and went off, the ticket that Jeff and I needed to get the cab, and went off in the first cab with Rose, and Jeff and I are standing there in Mumbai with no cab ticket, and I'm running down the road yelling, "Stop, stop!" And they didn't listen to me. So finally, after much convincing this guy that we just bought a ticket and he needed to give us a new one, he did. And Jeff and I got in this cab, and the driver was Hindu, and he had this turban on, and we're sitting in the back, and let me tell you, I never felt so vulnerable, alone, fearful in all my life. I'm like, I have no idea. I hope they're taking Rose to where she's supposed to go. And then we're here, and I hope this guy takes us where we're supposed to go. I'm sitting in the back. You can imagine the feeling. Like, there's nothing in this world that we can do. Nothing. But trust God. So we're in the back seat praying, and the guy took us right to where we were supposed to go in the city. I look through the front window, and there's Kathy Whippy with her blonde hair. And I'm like, oh, we're in the right spot. Yes, we will be in fearful circumstances. Don't be surprised. But you have a God who is with you. What else can she give us to the 2021 mothers? Assurance of God's unending provision. Okay? Just when you think that he couldn't give you any more, and that everything is gone, and you have nothing else, voila, something else appears, right? It's the nature of God. He creates out of nothing. He multiplies from little. It's who he is. This same widow used to have a child. The widow of Zarephath, she used to have a child. The story goes on. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" Wouldn't you say that? Like, this is happening because this prophet's here and, you know, and I'm such a sinful woman, and now this is happening because I'm so sinful, and you know what I'm saying? That's what she was doing. She was thinking that. "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" So he goes to God and asks that question. Then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth." What else does the widow of Zarephath powerfully give us to 2021 mothers? Next slide. The ability to receive resurrection power. Did you hear that? The ability to receive resurrection power. Zarephath, also known as Sidon, was a seaport town on the Mediterranean Sea in modern Lebanon. This place was the birthplace of Queen Jezebel, wife of King Ahab, king of Israel, a contemporary of the widow of Zarephath. Queen Jezebel in Israel, the widow of Zarephath in Lebanon. This story of resurrection power and that brought the widow's son back from the dead is the first recorded story of resurrection in the Bible, and it didn't even happen in Israel. Think that God didn't have the Gentiles in mind from the beginning? Okay, what else does she give us? The knowledge that we don't need to have a famous name to receive God's attention. Doesn't even name the woman. Okay, Jezebel is named. Here's Jezebel, she's got her name, she wants all the attention. Here's this widow of Zarephath. We don't even know her name. She gets God's attention, resurrection power, unending provision. 1 Kings 17 is not the only biblical telling of the widow of Zarephath. Truly I tell you, Jesus continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, Lebanon, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. That's in Luke chapter 4. Why does the bad example Jezebel get so much press in the church? Why doesn't the widow of Zarephath get as much press? I think in God's upside-down kingdom, she's a lot more important. What else does the mother of Zarephath scream at us? Your country of origin and your circumstances do not stop God's visitation. Did you hear me? Your country of origin and your circumstances do not stop God's visitation. Next slide, please. All kingdom mothers, that includes all of you mothers in here, all kingdom mothers may have the power to give, the freedom from fear when we are afraid, unending provision, resurrection power, freedom from making a name for ourselves, and God's visitation. The widow of Zarephath was a kingdom mother, a mother in the kingdom above all kingdoms, the upside-down kingdom. The world, probably, they wouldn't give this lady the time of day, and yet God records her in the Old and the New Testament, her story. There's another story of a widow, the widow of Nain. How many sermons have you heard on the widow of Nain? This mother. Hopefully, you'll hear a lot more. Talk about her. Okay, in Luke chapter 7, it says, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. She's a widow, and her son is dead. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. Next slide, please. What does the widow of Nain give to us 2021 mothers? The first thing is knowledge that we audibly weep, mourn, and lament over our lost children. Can you relate? Anybody in here? Like the widow of Nain. You know, she's weeping, mourning. And Jesus is saying to her, don't cry. I'm going to wipe away every tear from your eye. That's a promise in Revelation. It doesn't mean like shut up and quit crying. He knows we're going to cry. It's like a progressive verb that he's saying. Don't cry. Don't cry. I'm healing you from this loss. The second thing that she gives us is God, Jesus, has come to help his people. All right? When we go for help for anything, the first place that we should go is God, not the last. The first, before we go to the doctor, before we go to our spouse, before we go to our friends, before we go to the pastor, anybody, before we go there, we should go to God first. He has come to help his people. And then when you go to those other places, you'll get confirmation, encouragement, it'll all just come together. The third thing she gives us is where God meets us is a beautiful, pleasant place. The name of the word name, that town, means beautiful and pleasant. Have you ever noticed that when you go to God, you feel like you're surrounded by beauty and pleasantness? I ask myself all the time, why don't I spend more time with God where there is beauty and pleasantness, make more space for that and for him in my life than space for Facebook or shows or other people and all that stuff. I have a desire to make more space in my life for God because in that place, it's beautiful, it's pleasant. He is pleasant all the time. Did you know God is never in a bad mood? Why don't we just spend more time at Nain? So it was this beautiful, pleasant place. It was an Arab village in northern Israel or lower Galilee. As a mother, here's some questions I'd like to leave us with. As a mother, is God's resurrection power working through me? So resurrection power is power that brings things back to life, that makes something stand up again, just like Jesus made those boys stand up again, okay? It brings back to life. The word says, if that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, it will give new life to our mortal bodies. That's what it says. I didn't say it. God said that. So if it's not happening, how is it getting clogged up? If any man does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to God. You know when that Spirit is inside of you in your innermost being, but it's like in our soul, in our mind especially, in our emotions, in our will, it's like a clogged pipe, right? You get a clogged pipe, turn on the water, nothing comes. It gets clogged up in our soul, the Spirit. And God wants his Spirit to be released out through our souls especially. I think even more important than our bodies, to have that Spirit. That's a powerful Spirit you have on the inside of you. It's like if we don't allow him to go through our souls, it's like, okay, God, you can come into my life, but just stay in the back corner closet and I'm going to shut the door and keep you there. I think that God would like to have you open the door of the back corner closet and let him like hang out at your house, in your life, in other areas, especially your emotions. Yeah. And your mind, he really wants to hang out in your mind. He wants to put some really beautiful, beautiful thoughts in your mind. Pleasant thoughts. That's what he does. I've had it happen. I know when I'm letting him like live in my mind, in my emotions, and when I'm not. And I prefer him. I prefer the beauty and pleasantness. Okay, so if so, would I like to witness more of it in my life? And if not, am I saying no to his power? Am I saying no? He doesn't force us. He's not like that at all. You can say no to God. And how am I doing that? 1 Timothy 3:5. This verse has been like really just rumbling around in my mind, states that in the last days, people will have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Okay? A form of godliness, but deny its power. This means they will have an outward form of piety. Like they'll put on the religious thing, you know, and look real religious and stuff. But deny or say no to, refuse to affirm, disown, and contradict, it's dynamite. This is what this word power means in this verse in the Greek. Dynamite, miraculous power, might, and strength. We deny that dynamite, miraculous power when we say no to God. Mothers, I think especially for you, he wants you to release that for stuff to happen by his power in your life and through you. Let's not be the people in the last times that deny the power of God. It's for today. Resurrection power is for today. It was for before Jesus came with the widow of Zarephath. It was after Jesus came too. It's always been there. God has dynamite power. Look at the universe. Okay, another question for us to think about. Do I personally know the same kingdom mother's power of God? How is that power released in my life? You know you need it. You know you need it. I need it. We need it. We're like the bent over bigger woman. We need that kind of power, don't we? Your natural power that you have, it runs out. And when we all go to die, it's going to be like down to zero. And then we're going to step into 100% God's supernatural power. Yeah, and you know what? I'd like a little more of it now. Yeah, I'd like to see a little of it, more of it now working in our lives. Okay, here's this totally ironic story. I love this story too. In Matthew 22, it is recorded that Jesus told the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were a group of very religious. They were religious. They had all the outward form. People who didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the power to raise a person from the dead. And what does Jesus tell these people who don't believe in the resurrection? You're in error, he says, straight to their face. You're in error. You're wrong. Because this is why he gives them the reason why they're wrong. You do not know the scriptures. How about like the story of the widow of Zarephath? Oh, they must have skipped over that story. Or the power, that's what he said, the dynamite, miraculous power, might, and strength of God. That's why they were sad, you see. Yeah. And if you're sad, you see, all the time, and you feel like all you have is an outward form of religiosity, how about we go to God and talk to him about a release of that resurrection power? It is for you. Do you believe it? Okay. I would like to see some more of that working. So now, if the worship team would come forward. Some of the dance ladies have prepared beautiful flower bouquets for each and every mother that's here today. And there, if you came in through the Welcome Center, you saw the vases full of the bouquets. There is one for you. And if you are willing to step out of your seat and receive God's beauty and power of that flower, that those flowers as a symbol of the beauty and power that are in God, then you can start to pack up your stuff, mothers, because I know you have a lot of stuff to pack up. You can start to pack up your stuff and get ready to leave. And all you other mothers, you can put your Bibles away, put your writing utensils in your purse, whatever you have. Pack up and get ready to go. The worship team is going to re-sing that song, I Need You, Lord, I Need You. If you know that you need him, that you would like more beauty and pleasantness in your life, if you would like the release of the resurrection power of God, I'm going to ask you to get up right now, go into the Welcome Center and receive that bouquet of flowers as a symbol of what God has for you. And when you put it in that vase this week, may it remind you of the resurrection power of God. When you see it, pray and ask God to release the resurrection power that He has for you, that it will change your mind, it will change your thinking, it will change your will. A stubborn will of always wanting to do your own thing, it will be turned, and you will want to obey what God is telling you to do. And your emotions, I pray that there will be a wave of God's power over your emotions, and that they will become pleasant. And when you're fearful and you're down or depressed, that you will go into God's beauty and it will transform you. Go to Him. Nobody else can do it for you. The pastor can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your children can't do it for you. Nobody else. Nobody else but God alone can do that for you. Go to Him. Open up your heart and go to Him today and all week. And I pray that the men will be able to receive that too. Even as you think of the beautiful flowers that you see out there, you go to Him too. It's open for all of you to go to Him today.